Blog Talk Radio.
All around me are familiar faces.
Monday, September the 23rd, 2012, at 4 p.m. Eastern Time. As always, the Writing Mama Show and all our other shows can be listened to here on the World of Ink Network, or you can listen to it on demand as well at any time you'd like at the same address or on iTunes. Just search for World of Ink Network on Blog Talk Radio. The chat room is also open to post your questions today. If you have any call-in questions for our guests, please call 714-242-5259. That's 714-242-5259.
Hi, Irene. You know, it's funny. You mentioned the chat room and went, oops, I forgot to open that. So I'm like opening it up really quickly. So it is open now for our listeners. The chat room is open. Sorry about that, guys. I am obviously off my game today.
You're great.
Anyhow, yeah, you're great. It's good to have you back, Irene. I know we've gone a few months where it's just been me, myself, and I, because you've been out doing some different stuff, speaking and conferences. And
Life happened, academia happened, and it went from there.
Yeah.
Well, I'm so glad to be back.
Yeah, I'm glad to have you back, too. And by the way, everybody that's listening, that means that the Family Matters show will also be making its way back come October. So we're excited that that show is also back because we've gone through, I think, the end of spring, all through summer, and the beginning of fall without doing a show. So it's been a few months.
That'd be great.
Yeah, and then just really quickly for our listeners so they know what's going on with the lineup here at the World of Ink Network. Which is a featured network on Blog Talk Radio. We have, obviously, today is the Writing Mama Show, which we're back in full swing as well with our shows. And then Marcia Casper Cook has her show, A Good Story is a Good Story, on Tuesdays. And she will be on tomorrow at 9 p.m. Eastern Time. And then on Wednesday is the Right Step Show with R. Jeffries. He is once a month here at the World of Ink Network, and that will be at 7 p.m. Eastern time, like calculating the time into Eastern since I'm Mountain. And then Fran Lewis on Thursday has book discussions, and that is going to be at 4 p.m. Eastern time this Thursday, and that's what we have so far lined up. And then, which I do know is happening, I don't know if there's a show Friday, but I know Sunday we will have a book launch party which is our new network show, I guess, for authors that are launching books that want to do like a online kind of party where their fans can come and talk to them for 2 hours on a show. Is Sunday with author Donna McDine, Marcia Casper Cook, myself, Marnie McNiff, Irene Roth, and I think Fran Lewis is also going to try and be on that show. So there'll be quite a few of us hosts that will be on the show with author Donna McDine. Her fans are welcome to come and join us. That will be at 8 p.m. Eastern time on Sunday. So that's what we have lined up so far for this week. Yeah, we got a lot going on. It's going to be a busy, busy week here. But to get back to our show here at the Writing Mama, we have a debut author with us as well. She's actually a debut author and illustrator. Oh, my gosh. Beautiful illustrations. I wish I could draw that gray. I draw little stick people. But we have Patty B. Jefferson with us, and she has a very cute book entitled How Long Will You Love Me? It's a picture book that I guess basically started out as a single drawing for Valentine's Day, and through encouragement, she decided to contact Halo Publishing and get her picture book published. And I hate calling it a picture book because to me it's one of those books that can be given to anybody at any age level.
Well, absolutely.
Yeah, I don't feel like it's set to a specific age group. So even though it is considered a picture book, it's an all-age picture book in my mind. But we want to welcome you to the show, Patty. It's great to have you here.
Well, thank you for having me. I appreciate it.
Now, I would love for you to share with our listeners a little bit about your background, because you're not just the author of the book, you're an illustrator. So I'm guessing you've been illustrating for quite some time, because you do a fabulous job. I mean, I've seen your book. It's beautifully done. Like I said, I draw little stick people with, like, little triangle dresses and, like, rectangle pants. So I'm just kind of curious, what's your background from the art side of it and then the writing side of it? Because it's rare you run into somebody who does both does both so well out the gate as well.
Thanks. I actually, growing up, I was the kid who doodled in the corner, and actually the thing I miss most about having a phone attached to the wall in my kitchen was that was prime doodling time. You were on the phone, you were stuck then. Mobile phones let you wander around too much. You lost some of that doodle time. But I really did not know what I wanted to be when and if I ever grew up. My mom always encouraged me to do something with art. I finally, after 10 years of going to college, finally graduated. It was with a graphic design degree, more of a advertising and marketing kind of thing. And I kept in art kind of related things, but I wasn't really producing my own art so much as I owned a paint-it-yourself pottery studio with my mom. So I was always around people who, just like you, who would say, I can't draw only stick people. And we used to have people that would ask us, we had stencils for stick people, which, by the way, there aren't any stencils for stick people. kind of just got to at least wing that part of it. But when I decided that I was going to maybe, do a book, I was not actually my first choice to illustrate it. I knew a lot of illustrators. I know a lot of creative people. And it really kind of just came down to, since I didn't have the experience in it, I really wasn't trusting that maybe that I was really the best choice. And that kind of took some coercing from a few people in my inner circle to say, yeah, you can do it. And I was really pleased with the way they came out. Obviously, what you see in the book is probably about the seventh or eighth rendition of it to get it all right. But it was definitely a learning experience, and I kind of just went through it and took a lot of constructive criticism from my publisher even, and from different art sources that I have. And I'm pretty pleased with the way that it turned out for my first book.
No, I think it's great. I mean, it takes a lot, and Mari and Irene and I know this both because we both are published authors ourselves, that, just putting your own words on paper and letting the world read them is hard enough. But, to also open yourself up to have judgment artistically on, the actual artwork within the book, you got two layers on you. So I commend you for both being author and illustrator, because it's not easy. And, you even made the comment, this is, multiple, versions before you came up with the final that we see as the published work of even the artwork. I don't think some people really realize how much revision goes into writing and illustrating a book.
Right. Well, I know that there's two sides to the process, and if you're just writing the words, I can imagine then that you're hoping that whoever's doing your illustrating is got the same kind of vision that you do, and is going to take the words and it's going to make the same, you know, they're going to be influenced in the same way that you were as the author. Mm-hmm. And so I can imagine that that's a challenge. On the other side, since I was doing the illustrations as well, I think probably the only downside to that, obviously I had the same vision, still me, but I think that, you know, I was running the risk of not having a fresh brain to you know, fresh input into the story. And so that, I think, was the concern in the first place about whether or not I was the right illustrator for the job. But, you know, apparently I work okay with myself. And
Maddie, how do you envision sorry, go ahead.
I was just going to say my author self was able to work nicely with my illustrator self, and actually took my illustrator self out for a party afterwards. So it was good.
Oh, that's nice. I was just going to ask, how do you envision your picture book? How did you envision it? Did you envision it first through illustrations or through the text?
I write the text first,
okay.
But I find that I did not write a page that had a poem with a horse, and I don't know that I draw horses very well. So I think that it's great. I come up with, you know, I could come up with different texts, but because I know the challenges of my illustrating skills, you know, I kind of think that I'm really working against my next project was completely out of that box and out of my comfort zone. So I think I'm getting better at it, but, you know, I didn't want to write a poem about dragons because they're not really my forte for illustrating. So, Waiting for me to come out with a dragon book is going to be a while.
Yeah. Well, I guess you start with the text, and it always sort of, it fascinates me that the writer can actually do both like that. You're, well, multi-talented, very obviously. So, because, you know, I, of course, always get an illustrator because I don't draw at all very well, except doodling, and I don't doodle well either, so for my own eyes kind of thing. So I always sort of envision the text only as I'm coming, you know, to the storyline. So it's very interesting, you know, to hear what your process was like. So that's really great. Yeah.
I'm curious because I know it started off as basically a Valentine. What's the story behind that exactly? If you're willing to share, because I mean, every book obviously gets inspired by something. So I was very intrigued when I saw that it started off as a Valentine. I was like, there's definitely a story behind that one.
I actually had heard someone say in a group thing, I had heard somebody say, "I promise I will love you till that freckle falls off." And I thought, well, that's really kind of sweet in an off-the-wall kind of way. That's really kind of a sweet sentiment. You know, it made me want to run home and put a Band-Aid over all my freckles and make sure that they weren't going anywhere. But so I thought it was cute, and it kind of stuck in my head. And then it wasn't too far before it was Valentine's Day, and that sentiment had still kind of stuck in my head. And so I wrote the, and it's in the book, I wrote the page, "I promise I will love you till my freckles all fall off and run to join a country club where freckles can play golf." And so I drew little freckles playing golf, trying to get a hole in one. And people saw it. People were, you know, they were like, "I saw your Valentine's card. It was so cute. You should make more of those." And I really got a great response from everybody who saw it. So I just kind of over time, I would just come up with these equally as silly little rhymes. And I've got, you know, a notebook full that didn't make it into the first book. But it was, so that was kind of what started the whole thing. And, you know, life happens and things happen. And it took a while for me to come up with, you know, the rest of them, a book's worth, and to you know, take the next step to getting it published.
Yeah. Now, you actually put together, because when I was doing the whole research on you, which is what a lot of people do, they'll usually put the author's name in and do the little Google search. And I noticed you actually did a whole promo through Kickstart to get support to actually see your book go from project to to completion. What made you decide to go through that kind of a process and to build a support network of people? Because, I mean, you know, a lot of authors usually, like, hide in the corner and don't want to show their work or share anything that they're doing until it's actually in print. And then they go, yeah, I published something. And even then they don't even, like, share that they've even submitted their work to anybody because they don't want to show the fact that they've ever got rejections on their work. So,
sure,
I mean,
sure.
you were, like, out there from, like, pretty much the onset in many ways in this process. So what? You're really dynamic.
That's not the first time I've been told I was out there. This book really just took a long time, and a lot of it was, you know, me standing in the way of myself and deciding that, you know, that it was worth doing as a book. And I just had so many, you know, of my friends and my family that kept saying, you've got to do it, you've got to do it, it is good enough. And I thought, you know what, the only way I can really do this is if I have these cheerleaders, you know, with me. And every time it would come up in conversation that I was doing a book, everybody seemed to just get really excited about it. And I guess part of it's, you know, knowing somebody who did a book or whatnot. But I decided to do the Kickstarter campaign basically to come up with some of the, you know, to offset some of the funding that it was going to take for me to get the book printed. And I started a Facebook page for my book and started getting ready to do the Kickstarter campaign, and I just kept promoting it. And the response that I was getting back was awesome. You know, friends and family, friends of mine from high school that I hadn't talked to in, you know, many years. We don't have to go with a number there, but many years. And, you know, just came out and said, absolutely, you know, we're very excited for you and we'll support you. I set my goal on Kickstarter at $3,000. That was what I needed to raise in order to complete my goal. And I was, you know, 35% funded on the first day.
Wow.
Because I was out there, because I just kept, you know, I was saying it on Facebook. I was driving people to my book's Facebook page. I was driving people to my website, and people were very excited to be part of the process. One of the rewards I did on my Kickstarter was, you know, at a certain level, you would get your name printed in my book. And I thought, no one's ever going to want to do that. And you know, if you turn to my acknowledgement page in the book, there's like 20, 25 names there of people who just wanted to be part of it. And so, you know, anybody, I mean, I know people who are saying, oh, I can't really afford to self-publish or whatever. And I think if there's a will, there's a way. And if you've got a support group behind you, if you've got people who believe in you, yeah, let them help you. They want to. So, you know, let them help you, and they'll, you know, I post something on Facebook, and I've got my loyal friends and family who will repost it, and it just kind of goes around. So by the time the book came out, people who know me forget that the book didn't come out until the end of June, because they were all very involved in this process starting back in, like, January and February. So it was definitely, I would definitely do it again, just because I was able to sell books through the Kickstarter to England. I sent two books to England. I sent books to Ireland, South Africa. Somebody in South Africa bought a book. And so it was really kind of exciting that, you know, all of a sudden there were people outside of my circle who were interested in the book. So I would definitely, you know, tell people, you know, that's definitely a route to go. I would definitely do it again.
Maybe the title really did it too, right? Sorry, Virginia.
I was gonna say the titles are cute. Well, I don't know if you've seen it, Irene. I don't know how much digging you've done on Patty, but she had a video on the Kickstarter page where she talks about the process of of writing a book and illustrating a book, and it's just you have a lot of personality, and I think that really helps too. You know, if you're not somebody who's very comfortable, and if you're not very comfortable, you're going to definitely have to put on an act, because I think I was just really impressed. I was from the whole page and just everything I've seen that you've done so far. With getting people involved with the process.
Mm-hmm. I tell people if you're because a lot of people are shy. I'm sure that there were times that my mom wished that she had brought up a shy child, but if you're shy and you don't have a really outgoing persona, you just need to make up an alter ego and let that person, you know, take over. I was joking with some friends on Facebook that for my radio interview today, I'm actually wearing a tiara, because that person is a lot more interesting to listen to. Sometimes than Patty is. So there are ways around all of those challenges if you're just willing to, you know, be a little goofy.
That's so funny.
Why not? It's all the more power to you.
Yeah, that's what I tell people. Because I teach writing workshops, and so does Irene. I don't know, Irene, what you tell your students, but I do. At the very last class I have, I talk about the marketing aspect as a writer, because that's the thing. As a writer, you know, the days are gone hiding behind the computers and the typewriters and in your lonely studio apartment, you know, or locking yourself in a hotel room or whatever and producing books, because, I mean, even the big guys. I was watching TV and a commercial came up, and there was James Patterson doing a commercial for one of his middle grade books. I'm like, what? Yeah, I was like, wow, James Patterson's doing TV commercials. Like, when did that happen? You know? And I was just kind of shocked by that. And I mean, Stephen King does cameos a lot on shows that he's a part of, that he's helped like with the scripts for or are based off his books. So, it's kind of those days are gone of hiding. And so I always tell my aspiring writers when I'm teaching the class, and that is, pick a character in the book if you're not comfortable in your own skin, and then go to your signings or your speaking engagements as that character, because you have to get out in front of people. So I do. So far, you got your tiara on to make yourself, you know, more interesting from normal Patty. It's true. I mean, we have to do different things. And I think that's the one thing that helps people gravitate, I think, to an author, is when you let your creativity really shine through. I know Bea just mentioned it here on the radio about the TR, or when you're out in person talking to readers and hopefully, you know, garnering new fans. I know for me, that's what makes me gravitate to a lot of the different authors that I tend to read. It's their personality and letting their creativity show to their fan base outside of just, you know, their words on the page. So I really commend you for embracing that and being that way. Now, you're working with Halo Publishing.
Mm-hmm.
And and you mentioned that you went through quite a few revisions and some criticism, you know, even though it was helpful criticism of the book. What's that like? Because, I mean, we have a lot of aspiring writers who listen to our shows as well here at The World of Ink. And the hardest thing in every conference I've been to, any workshops I've taken, I studied at the Institute of Children's Literature. They talk about it when you're taking their courses that, like, the first thing I ever hear out of anybody's mouth pretty much is, as writers, you have to have thick skin. So what's that like? Because people think once you get in with, and everybody always says, like, oh, yeah, you have to have thick skin because of all those rejections. But I don't think a lot of aspiring writers realize that once you get in the door of a publisher, no matter who it is, there's still going to be editing and criticism and feedback, positive and negative, coming at you, because you're working with them to, of course, their name's on the book and your name's on the book, so you guys both want to have a very good product out there. You still have to carry on that thick skin, because, you know, a lot of people think that once they get it to their polished manuscript and send it off and it gets accepted, there's no more editing involved, which is not the case.
Wouldn't that have been sweet?
Wouldn't that be great? And I know because I watched my own book when it got sent out come back, and it was about 40 words less for my picture book. And I was like, oh, they hacked more out. So I thought I did a good job in hacking it up. So what was that process like in realizing that once you are working the publisher, that there was still actually more feedback that, you know, usually people don't expect to see happen?
Right. Well, I think that, when I started the, started the whole process, I was going to go through, Amazon and just, be totally in charge and control of the whole thing and whatever. And it occurred to me that that was the most ridiculous thing I had ever thought of because I didn't know what I was doing. And I thought, sure, really, seriously, Patty, what are you thinking? And so when I decided that I was going to, that I wanted to work with a publisher, some advice that I got was remember that, that they're not scary, big, scary, entities that are going to, hurt you. That's not their job. So I started looking at it as that what I needed to find was somebody that was willing to, be a partner to me, be a, more of a mentor and get me through the process, and that was going to come with them telling me, by the way, we get you don't know what you're doing, so maybe you shouldn't do this way, or maybe you should change this, and bless Lisa Umina's heart because at Halo, because she not only had to deal with me as the crazy new author, but also as the crazy new illustrator, and that was actually, she had less things that she wanted to talk to me about the text than she did, about the illustrations. They weren't the right dimensions. They weren't that needed to change. I needed to move some things. And, she was just spot on, the whole way. And not to say that she was telling me that, that what I was doing wasn't right, but, there were certain industry standards for page sizes and that I just didn't know, and things that, that she recommended that, just made the book a much better book. So I don't know that it was that you need thick skin as much as you need an open mind. If you've got that relationship with your publisher, which you should have, what I was looking for from her was that she was going to, share her expertise with me. She was going to make my book, even better. It was a cute book going in. It's a better book, with her help. And I just had to stay open-minded to what it was the suggestions that she was making. In the end, it's my book, and if I didn't want to make the changes, they wouldn't have been made. But by keeping an open mind and listening to somebody who, obviously knew what they were doing, if you're talking to an expert in the field and you don't listen to them, that doesn't say much about you yourself. So, I don't know that it's so much a thick skin, artists and authors, and I know a bunch of them, and we are fun at a party. But you talk to us about our work, and everybody gets a little, they do get a little protective and a little, a little less flexible, probably. I'm trying to think of a nice way to say it because we're all crazy, but. I think that I just, when I realized that I needed to keep an open mind and listen to what, what she was trying to do to help me. And, I couldn't have, the book wouldn't look anything like it does now if I hadn't had her help.
Yeah, no, that's go ahead, Ari.
Yeah, I was just saying, I think there's a really subjective component to matching up the pictures with the text or the illustrations with the text, and I think that's one of the hard things of being both a writer and an illustrator, too, isn't it, Patty? I mean, it's kind of a hard part of you know, you have to sort of do the text first or and do the illustrations
yeah,
later. Or
yeah,
yeah. Yeah, that's how, you know, it's
well,
kind
I,
of hard to
I
sort of always
think of them both at the same time. The new project that I'm working on, I actually thought of the illustrations, a couple of the illustrations before I thought of the story and the text. But when I start working on a project, I have a big drawing pad and that's where I start, and I kind of like, it's a mess. If you saw it, you would think, how does she ever put any of this together? Because it's just so disoriented and whatever. But I'll scribble down words and I'll scribble little things next to them. And so I'm like, I think I'm trying to do them both about at the same time.
Right,
and then.
Right.
And then I tweak them separately. So the rewrites, oh, there will be days that I do rewrites, and then there's days that I just do drawing. But I think when it's coming out in the very beginning, in the very early stages, I have to do them both, and I can't separate them, which is how I ended up being my own illustrator, I guess.
Right. That's great. Yeah.
Yeah, I think it's wonderful, and everything you've been doing. Now, I'd love for you to share, because we're getting low on the time that we have on the show, and we've talked about you a lot, but let's talk a little bit, you know, more about your book. It is, like I said, it is a picture book, but it is really for all ages, because it's not like there's a set character in the story, because it's not really a story with a plot and a conflict. It's more just little, it's just a very fun kind of, and it's not exactly like Dr. Seuss, but the fun Dr. Seuss books, like I think of like the One Fish, Two mm-hmm. Fish kind of, you know, Red Fish, Blue
right.
Fish kind of book, where there isn't a set character. It's just a bunch of funny little rhythm, you know, rhymes and sayings throughout the book. So
right.
I really feel like it's a book that any reader you can enjoy. And I see it more as a gift book. We've only had one other author, which was Judy Snyder, and she co-authored with her sister, Joan, and they had a book, I Love You Just Because. And that was the same that they always mm-hmm. used in their family. It was kind of the same, similar to the way your book is. It's just different spreads with different sayings to let somebody know just how special they are to you in your life. Is this something that you've thought about maybe trying to get into gift stores? Because, I mean, I can really see it as a book that you can give to somebody for a wedding present or a bridal shower or a birthday,
yeah.
Valentine's Day, obviously, which is where it stemmed from to begin with. I mean, it's just the sky's the limit with the possibilities of how this book can be given to somebody.
It really is. And, I mean, obviously, since it came from an adult situation, I guess that was always kind of in the back of my mind. And so there's a lot of things that are in the book that are not as, you know, small child-oriented, but little kind of funny side jokes that maybe a kid wouldn't get, but that an adult would. The fact that the bird is flying on Southwest Airlines, or that the Blues Bunnies are, have a sign behind them advertising for karaoke at the venue where they're playing. So there's a lot of little things that I thought were a little bit more adult oriented, and I've sold a good number of them to people who were looking to buy them for other adults, because there is a certain sweetness to it, and you know. Not necessarily an innocence, but, love's a pretty ageless, timeless kind of thing, and I think that the book just resonates with people of all ages. I know that there are books that have been purchased to give to, you know, grown children. Right now, it seems, you know, just my age group and my daughter's age group, my mom's age group, everybody's having, you know, kids or grandkids or whatever right now. So I've got a lot of moms that are my friends that are buying them for their daughters who are, you know, starting families and stuff. So I think that it's one of those, fortunately for me, it's just one of those things that, does kind of cross those generations, and which is great. It makes me really happy. I get a lot of pictures of moms reading with their, you know, toddler sizes, but then every now and then I'll get a picture of, you know, somebody who's 20 or 30 who's reading the book with, you know, with their significant person, and it's, you know, that's just as heartwarming.
That's cute. Now, are you, well, first I should ask, where can people buy your book? Where can they pick up a copy?
You can buy it online either at my website, which is howlongwillyoulovememe.com, and you can buy it on Amazon, and you can buy it at halopublishing.com. We've just, like I said, the book just came out at the end of June, so we are just starting to get into a couple of retail places, but there's a friend of mine that has a gift basket store, and she's talking about adding that to the her Valentine's Day gift. So, you know, Valentine's Day is definitely playing a big part in marketing the book as well.
Very cool. See, I'm typing all these into the chat room. And then I know we have a tour page for you up at the World of Ink Network, because you've been doing interviews and book reviews and spotlights and guest posts.
Oh, it's been so much fun.
As well,
it's been so much
fun. People can go, so everybody can go there too, because I think we have all the links there as well. If we don't, we should. I'll have to double check, make sure they have them all up. I'm trying to get that in there. And
we'll do it if you don't.
Yeah, well,
and if somebody's trying to buy the books in place where they don't have it, let me know. I'll make sure you get one there.
Yeah, and if you're not able to track Patty down or weren't able to get all those addresses down, then you can always go to the worldofinknetwork.com and contact us through the contact page, and we can send your message off to Patty, because we have her contact information. So that's always worth people to get a hold of you
too. Right. Sorry
what
about
that?
That, Regina. I said they can also order them through their bookstores, right? You can just go to your bookstore, local bookstore, and just order it through that too. So I'm sure they can order it that way too, right?
Yeah.
Like their own bookstores,
well,
wherever they are.
Yeah.
Okay, great.
Yeah, that's always the best way to do it. Now, what are your future plans? Are you going to do any more books that you have planned, or just...
Absolutely. Saying that with the project that I was in, I started a story working with Halo for a book that we're hoping to release in March, right after Valentine's Day. And it's called Stu's Big Party, and it's a story about a hippopotamus, which was not in my bag of tricks previously. So I've spent a lot of time sketching hippopotami in the last couple of weeks, but this is the one that I was thinking that I thought of the story first. I had just come off doing a very complicated, taxing project trying to illustrate someone else's book, and we finally just decided it wasn't going to be a really good match, and they were very complicated drawings and that she wanted for the book, and we did find somebody else to do it, which is awesome because it's a good story, but I went to bed thinking that why couldn't I have just gotten a project where, like, all of the pages were, you know, black? And as an illustrator, wouldn't that have been awesome? And I guess I kind of was thinking that, and I ended up writing. I ended up probably laying there for about a half an hour before I realized I really needed to get up and write some of it down. But what evolved from that is the story of Stu, who's a hippopotamus, and he's having a party. And at the beginning of the party, the lights go out. Mm-hmm. And as his guests are arriving, he's trying to figure out who they all are. And and he's having a hard time with that. And in the end, he finally figures out that it's not really important what they look like and that sort of thing. So it's a really cute book. But fortunately for me as the illustrator, a good number of the pages are just black with eyeballs on them. So I'll still give myself full illustration credit for it, but it was a much easier book to do than the first one.
That sounds cute, though.
It's a very sweet book, and Stu's already. And again, the book is not ready; it won't be out until March. But I've already started to kind of, you know, tease my circle with pictures of Stu. The hippo, and he's the screensaver on my phone right now, so I see him every time I get a call. And there's no sense in waiting until he's done. I might as well let everybody know. And then there'll be a sequel to the How Long Will You Love Me, because I just still have so many cute you know, few pages to do for that. And now that I'm out talking to schools, the kids are being quite creative with helping me think of possible things that could happen to show how long you love me. So that's been kind of fun and interesting too.
Yeah, kids are just a wealth of they're a bottomless pit of just ideas and inspiration. It astounds me when I go to conferences or book festivals and kids show up with their parents, or, you know, they're there shopping around and just talking to them. Just, they are such little creative little guys.
Yeah.
A lot of times they can get ideas as to what they really want too, that way too, instead of, you know, sort of coming up with your own, that you can really get a lot of ideas from them too.
Yeah, well, I was concerned, you know, with the, you know, speaking to, you know, slightly older children, and there was a group of third graders that I was talking to, and I was thinking, you know, it's a picture book that moms are reading to, you know, little kids. Are they really going to think that this is anything interesting? And they were hysterically funny, and we were just talking back and forth, you know, like, okay, you know, what does a horse, you know, what would a horse never do? And the list of things that these kids could think of, you know, was just crazy. And so I am going to have to learn how to draw a horse, because I promised this particular third grade class that I would put a horse in the next book. So as soon as I conquer the hippopotami, I have to move into a horse-driven stage. So.
Well, this has been exciting talking to you, and I'm looking forward to seeing what you have going on, since Irene and I both actually work with Halo, so, you know, we will definitely be keeping an eye on when those other books come out, because you're definitely a talented author, and it's fun to see new authors come out, you know, especially nowadays. I mean, the publishing industry just seems to be such a hard industry to be successful in and do well in, because a lot of publishers are buying other publishers out, and we're seeing the market shrink versus grow.
Right.
And so it's been fun talking with you and seeing a new author, you know, emerging out of all the other ones that have been around for years. And I think that's probably why the kids love your book so much. It's such a different book from, you know, the classics, or people taking those same classic ideas and just retelling the stories just slightly in slightly different ways. I mean, yours is definitely a fresh, new idea all the way around, which is, you know, it is. It's a nice thing to see happen, especially in picture books, because I know that market's been a struggling market for some time. And I hope some of those third graders will think about buying your book to give to their moms for Mother's Day.
Those third graders bought a bunch of books. I have to thank them for that, for sure.
Well, that's good.
Yeah.
Maybe they'll hold on to it, and when they eventually find that special someone in their life, then, you know, that can be along with the engagement, you know, present.
Yep.
I mean, there's just, I just keep thinking of all the things you can do with your book as a gift. I mean, this is endless, and I love that, and I'm excited to see that you're going to do a second to it. Plus a whole different type of book, The Hippopotami sounds like a fun book, because it gets kids' imaginations going. I like that, with it all being dark and them having to help figure out along with the main characters
right,
who the different guests
out.
Are.
Right. Well, the first book, on each page, I hit a little heart in the illustration, and that was part of what turned out to be part of the real fun for the kids reading it, was that there was a little heart. And so, you know, playing a little bit of a game as you're going along to make it, you know, something more than just reading the words. So the Hippopotamus book, Sue's Big Party, that's going to have a little bit of something fun to do on each page as well.
Oh, that's great.
Fun. Well, we thank you again, Patty, for being on the show, and we wish you much success.
Thank you for having me.
Yeah, and I hope our listeners today will come to the World of Ink Network and check out Patty's tour page. She's under the Authors on Tour. You'll see her photo and her name below. You just click on it. It'll take you to the tour page. We have the book trailer up that for the book up there, and then the different stops are being posted as they come live. So you'll have to check back often to visit the different stops. Or you can go to Facebook, follow Patty there, and then also at our World of Ink Network page on Facebook. We also have an event page set up as well for Patty there to follow along as she's out promoting her book, so you can find information there as well. And then just really quickly,
I'm everywhere.
Oh yes. Patty's everywhere. That's a good thing. And then, Patty, can you really quickly let our listeners know what your website address is one more time?
Yep. It's pretty simple. It's just the book. It's howlongwillyoulovememe.com. And that's also the Facebook page is facebook.com/howlongwillyouloveme
That's very good and easy, so people can remember that.
Yep. How long will you love me?
Yes. And I hope they love you for a very long time as an author.
Absolutely.
Me too.
And then just so our listeners know as well, tomorrow is Marcia Casper Cook's A Good Story is a Good Story show. That is at 9 p.m. Eastern time. I know she's going to have Elizabeth Black on the show with her as her co-host. I can't see all the details of what the show's about. That's all I can see. And then on Wednesday is The Right Step with R. Jeffries. It's his once a month show. He has a multi-award-winning writer, poet, teacher, Carla, I think it's Placentia is her last name. They'll be talking about the craft of prose and poetry writing on that show. So if that's what you want to do for a living, is write poetry or prose or put that into fun picture books or whatever, or gift card writing, or just collections of poetry and prose, definitely tune into that show. That will be at 7 p.m. Eastern time. And then again on Thursday is book discussions with host Fran Lewis. She always has usually two wonderful guests on there. I think she has Iris Johansson and Mark Rubenstein on that show, I believe. And she'll be talking with them in great detail about their books. So if you really like to read long, lengthy novels and really want to hear the nitty-gritty about a novel and the author's insight, so you can see it more through their perspective, that's always a great show to tune into, because they really dissect the books on Fran's show. And that is at 4 p.m. Eastern time this Thursday. And then again on Sunday is the Book Corner show, which is a book launch show for author Donna McDine. She is an award-winning children's author. She is going to be on there talking about her two latest books, Hockey Agony and Powdered Monkey, and that is at 8 p.m. Eastern. We invite everybody to join that show. We'll have a good chunk of the World of Ink host on the show, and then we'll be opening up the phone lines for people to actually be on line live to talk to Donna about her books, about writing, about, anything that is at least clean to be talked about on this show that has to do with the writing process. If you want to keep a clean show, guys, so just keep that in mind. And that's everything we have going on right here at the World of Ink Network here on Blog Talk Radio. So we thank you all for listening and hope you guys have a great, wonderful week, and tune in to the rest of our shows the rest of this week. Thanks for listening. Bye-bye.
Take care, everyone. Bye-bye.
Me to the World of Ink.